say.
Right,
for
right.
Being rubbish.
A cheeky little bugger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And bonnet for a trunk.
I've never heard a British person say
no,
that.
No, it's bonnet for a hood. And it's a windscreen, not a windshield.
And it's aluminum and not aluminum.
And it's a schedule. Jumper. It's a
and
jumper.
A schedule.
A schedule.
And a torch for a flashlight.
Yeah.
British people are weird.
The torch always confused me when I was reading Chronicles of Narnia as a kid. Because, like, they would say, oh, let's grab a torch. I got a new torch for Christmas. I'm like, who gives their child a torch for Christmas?
Who gives their child a flashlight for Christmas?
Well, I apparently the Pevensies.
It's a good gift.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just walking in a dark place and you need a flashlight.
Or your friend starts texting you some really dark stuff and you're like, dude, it's getting dark in here. I need a flashlight. Excuse me. I need a torch.
Good joke.
We were... Upon the upsettedness that I was not yesterday.
Totally was.
He was being so sarcastic. I literally could not tell. Like, he would say, like, I told him about my issue and he goes, I'm just so frustrated. I just don't know what to do with it sometimes when it comes to these types of situations. I'm like, is he having a heart to heart with me or is he being sarcastic? I was like, I really shouldn't be having this dilemma with Andrew because I know he has to be just so fucking dripping sarcastic. So I actually had to text him. I'd be like, are you being serious or is this dripping with sarcasm? And he goes, and he just, the rest of it was obnoxiously sarcastic.
As if I would ever have a heart to heart with anybody, ever.
Hey, dude, I thought we had a moment, but then you just had to go. And then I was
there was no moment.
I was like, go to your bridge. And he goes, what does that mean? I'm like, don't even. I'm not even doing that. And he's like.
Didn't make any sense to me at the time.
It so did. You understood.
It just came out of nowhere for no reason.
Can you please describe what you.
I didn't get
what you as a troll?
So you didn't understand
it either?
Exactly.
I didn't.
You guys have been on the internet. You don't know what it means when somebody says go back to your bridge?
I know what
I've never seen that on the internet.
No, I haven't seen it on the internet. I understand the connection now because of the goats, the three Bill Goats Gruff.
Yeah, that's where trolls come from.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's not technically. Trolls come from a variation of.
No, they come from three Billy Goat Scruff. And anyway, can you please describe it so they understand what I'm saying that I needed to torch in our conversation what they mean?
Oh, because I said that if I was a troll, I would be depressed and an alcoholic because my wife was kidnapped and murdered. And now I'm not going to fix the bridge. Because the townspeople are obnoxious. But I'm still going to charge a toll for people to cross the bridge. But I'm not going to fix it.
Execution was poor on that one. I'm a depressed alcoholic because my wife was captured and killed. That's why I won't take the time to fix the bridge. Totally still going to charge people for a toll, though.
Yeah. What I just said.
Yeah, but you're delivering with that.
Wow.
Can I tell him your dad joke today, too?
If you'd like to.
Oh, gosh. I love dad jokes.
So I told him, I was like, so I'm going to be about 15 minutes late. Just got home, and I'm going to make a quick sandwich. And he's like, I hope you'll be able to catch it. And I didn't get it at first. I'm like, what? Is this like I'm looking for running somewhere. Like, you know, is your refrigerator running? I'm like, what? And then I got it, and I was going to do like a dash, like a face where it was just kind of like, this isn't funny. Yeah. But then so I was like, sweet dad joke. So
I made a double pun.
Double puntandra?
In homework today. Because one of my the classes I'm taking is Reading Interests of Adults. And so we have to read these different genres.
50 Shades of Grey.
I am not. That was actually a concern of mine when starting this class. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be great. I can read and I can discuss books. I love discussing books. And it got to a certain point where it's like, what if they make us read 50 Shades of Grey? I don't think I can do that. Like, I think I'd actually have to take an F on that assignment. I don't think I can read 50 Shades of Grey. And so but thankfully, that's not how it is. Aside from one piece of fiction, we all get to choose what book we read for each genre. So this past week was horror fiction, which I read Dean Koontz's Phantoms. And Phantoms, the monster in it, is this kind of amorphous amoeba-type thing that devours every organic thing in its path and can then recreate, like, you know, it's pretty much the flood as an amoeba.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
And so we have to do this reading journal with every book that we read, in which we give a summary, we talk about reflections. If, you know, someone came into this library with this book, you know, when would we recommend this book? Or if someone read this book, what else would we recommend in the vein? And I actually ended up saying, well, you know, the Flood, you know, this monster reminds me a lot of the Flood from Halo. And, you know, to a certain extent with the, you know, devouring every organic organism, you know, retaining their memories, having a massive ego, and the wonky religious symbolism that isn't quite accurate, but it's entertaining anyways. And so I said, like, you know, if someone, you know, had read Halo Silentinium, or Human Weakness, and they wanted, you know, a Flood fix, sort of speak, I would recommend Kuntz's Phantom for a bit of Flood-light literature. So I was pretty proud that I...
Flood-light. Get it? Flood-light. Like light. That's a Flood-light?
Like
don't worry, I'll explain your joke for you.
And Bud Light. Because I spelled it L-I-T-E. So, like, it's a lighter version of, like, the...
That was not very good.
No, that last one.
I don't care.
I liked it. I was very proud of it.
The first pun was good.
Yeah.
The Floodlight. I get it.
Yeah.
Your jokes are so funny.
Yeah. We should probably do an intro.
We should. Because
we didn't.
Oh, are we recording?
Welcome,
listeners.
There's no way I'm not leaving that in.
Please leave
the
that
Floodlight
in.
Joke was too good. And I'm not going to ask her to say it again because it just won't have the same impact.
Well, if we did the intro, just insert at the start.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Okay, well.
So, welcome to the Mach 7 podcast. My name is Andrew. Joining me this week is the white and gold dress, Ice-T.
Hello. You said dress.
Yeah. Men can wear dresses. This is 20-
Yeah, then they have weird voices when they say that.
It's not true. And the...
Pantsuit.
The black and blue dress, Abby.
Hello.
Wait, what color was mine?
Yours was white and gold.
Ooh, those are good colors. What were hers?
Black and blue.
Those do not go well together.
Yeah, it looks okay. Do you guys know what the whole dress thing is?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
How does Abby know what the dress is, but you don't?
Why would I know about dresses?
Are you on the internet ever?
I have a penis and she doesn't. I think there's a reason why I don't know about dresses and she does.
But it's not... But it's the dress.
Dresses are my thing. I love dresses.
Let's describe Abby. Now that I think about that.
Woo! Man, I cannot get my fill. I love just going shopping for prom dresses and all that jazz.
So is Chris.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's the queen, right?
He actually told me about it on our Man to Man podcast.
Really? Yeah. You know, I would like... I have no plans in the future for any time recently, but, like, in terms of a wedding dress, I would actually like something that would have, like, some sort of, like, ceremonial armor. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Abby.
Just kind of like
if she could wear Mjolnir armor, she would wear it at the wedding.
No, Mjolnir armor isn't classy enough. I'm thinking Arbiter armor. Maybe just one of the arms.
Which one? Like...
Like
Halo 2 Anniversary
Halo
Arbiter?
Halo 2 Anniversary Armor.
Yaka.
No, just one of the arms, the way the kind of the way that the chainmail goes up and it has that kind of sweet shoulder guard. Ooh. I like that. I think that's cool.
I don't think we're talking about the same armor.
Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about like
the gold.
Okay.
Not the gold one.
I'm like that. I don't like that one.
I don't like the Triceratops helmet.
No. I don't like that armor.
Triceratopses are cool though.
Well, yeah.
Triceratops buy?
But
I don't play with Triceratops.
It really implies that the alien species is like primitive. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking of because they're tribal and all kind of stuff. No, I don't like that. That I don't like that idea.
And I am so stoked for
Halo 5 Guardians.
Halo 5.
We're gonna wait for another podcast for Halo.
So, yeah.
But speaking of Halo, the multiplayer Master Chief Collection is fixed now. So
really,
yeah.
I feel like I said that a long time ago.
No, because it just got fixed.
Like, I've been playing it for a long time.
Fixed.
Like, super good fixed.
I've been playing it.
Well, maybe it's been working for you, but it hasn't been working for the majority of people.
Oh, well.
Where it takes, like, 20 minutes to get into a match.
Oh, no, that does happen.
And a lot of the matches are laggy.
No, I haven't had that problem.
Well, it's better now, so that it takes maybe 5 minutes to get into a match instead.
That's my problem with Halo. I'll be honest with you. The lobby system for Halo really sucks.
I've never had that much of an issue with it.
It takes forever to get to a game. Like, you know, Battlefield, the longest I have to wait is for the map to load. And then I'm in a game.
Hmm. So Halo? I guess I wouldn't really know because I don't have anything to compare it by.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you play Call of Duty.
Yeah, not online.
Oh. Well, then, yeah, you don't have anything to compare it to. Most of these other first-person shooter, multiplayer games, you know, like you can join in and leave anytime you want to without big, huge consequences. At least, you know, in Halo, it's no longer where if, like, whoever's hosting it, everybody has to quit.
Yeah.
Like
the whole game has to pause finding new hosts.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. Awesome.
But That's the only thing that I would change about Halo is that at least in some of the bigger matches, maybe some of the smaller matches like SWAT or something like that, you'd have, you know, bigger, like lobby time. But like for big team Slayer or regular team Slayer, I should just be able to join in. Because otherwise, it so often happens where you get four against two people. Like, how come I just can't people join in?
It's true. It would be helpful.
And, like, people could just join right in.
Abby doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't play multiplayer either, so you wouldn't know either.
Yeah, I barely play.
How come I don't play with... I'm on a podcast with video game people, but you guys don't play video games.
Sure we do.
No, you play mini games.
I play video games.
You play the single player.
I want to have this conversation, okay?
Okay, I love to have a conversation. So, I really don't like it when Andrew, like, turns towards me. I feel like, really...
All right.
Okay.
I think we should make this a new segment, because this actually segues really well.
Okay, great, something. Great. I like
and
this.
It's a segment of... topics that one of my roommates brings to me. So I'm going to steal
content. Wait. Are we having a heart-to-heart?
No.
Oh.
So one of my roommates really likes to come into my room and hang out for, like, hours at a time. And he just likes to talk about random stuff. Like, a lot of it has to do with, like, video games and sort of game theory and stuff like that.
Have him on the podcast.
Like, I don't think he'll do that. For example, one of the things we were talking about, like, fighting games. And he made the observation that...
Like Mortal Kombat?
Sure.
Okay.
Like... He made the observation that DLC characters in fighting games tend to be really overpowered. And he's like, man, I don't know why that is. Why would that be? And it's like, well, obviously because you want people to buy DLC.
SKA about their game scheme.
So it's stuff like that. But so one of the things he came to me with was how I feel about the phrase gamer, like, and applying it to people. Mm. And I mean, basically I was like, I don't care. It's whatever. I define myself as a gamer because I play games. And he was like, I wish it was more specific. Like, he wished that instead of labeling yourself as a gamer, you would label yourself as an FPS gamer or an RPG gamer. And my argument was basically like, why should we separate people into different categories like that? I basically said it's the same thing as using the phrase, like, female gamer. I'm like, why does that phrase even exist? Because gamer isn't...
Gamer's non-gender.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't understand why people use that phrase ever.
Well, it's an underrepresented demographic. Just be like saying African American people. It's just a way of categorizing, which society does.
Yeah, but it's stupid.
Absolutely, I didn't say it's right. I'm saying what society does.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we had this whole discussion about like what it means to be a gamer, and he was like, "Do you really?" So like, when I said that I define myself as a gamer, he's like, "Do you really want to include yourself with the people who only play mobile games or whatever?" He's like, "Because I feel like they're different type of gamers, so you wouldn't want to be in the same." Category. And I'm like, it doesn't Absolutely matter. Not. We all play games.
Yeah, that's exactly the point.
I agree with that because, like, granted, my experience with Halo is not going to be the same experience of someone who can kill at Angry Birds. But at the same time, a part of their life is still somewhat defined by games. They take some meaning, some enjoyment, some whatever part of their from their games that I think is perfectly okay, and I have no right to make a judgment call on what type of gamer they are.
Right. He basically said it's because when someone says they're a gamer, he says that that doesn't give him enough information about them. That it doesn't, like, allow him to know, to have any kind of common ground with them because he doesn't know what kind of games they like to play.
But it's a conversation topic.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I was like,
that's good.
So ask them, what kind of games do you like to play? Like, why
is that
a bad thing?
I'm a gamer too. What kind of games do you play? Because I play. There.
Yeah.
There you go.
He was like, no, he just wants all the information up front.
There you go, blank room name.
And I was like, Dips Chubbo, you're useless at this. We're going to call him Dips Chubbo from now on.
Okay, Dips.
Okay. The funny thing about that is that actually reminds me of what people at, like, reference desks in libraries are trained to do, because someone will come up and say, I need information on this topic. I need information on biofuels. Biofuels is not specific. So you want to ask them, can you tell me more? What type of biofuels? Are you looking for articles? Or are you looking for something general? It's a and so that just made me think of it. Granted, you're not entering a reference interview with someone who you're trying to get to know, but like a conversation... You're not going to get the information about a person all up front. So, and even if you try to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm an FPS gamer. Are you campaign FPS gamer? Are you multiplayer? Are you Call of Duty? Are you Halo? Are you Battlefield? No, Battlefield isn't FPS.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, you know,
Are you GoldenEye?
Are you GoldenEye? Are you Portal? Are you Team Fortress 2?
Are there other people who just play GoldenEye today? They don't play anything else.
Hey, dude, there might
be. They're just like pro GoldenEye players.
Yeah.
There actually probably are people who speedrun it, too. They're kind of pro GoldenEye.
Yeah.
In a way.
So even in terms of that, and also, like, again, like, I think a big difference is how do you play it? Like, do you play just for fun, or do you play as a ranking system? Are you competitive? So that's you can't ever, unless you're going to go up and say, "Hi, I'm a first-person shooter gamer with an emphasis on campaign and storyline with analysis of the characters."
Would I be interested in talking to you?
I think it says more about the person that they're willing to label themselves as a gamer.
Yeah?
Because I feel like society, while it's changing, mm-hmm. still has a negative connotation about people who play video games. But that is changing as mm-hmm. video games become more prominent in every way.
Yeah.
So, mobile games like we discussed, Xbox systems becoming entertainment systems, which include video gaming. So just
occasionally.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
So. So I somebody who labels himself, that's something that they say about themselves. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. If the mention that you guys when you guys mentioned the Xbox being more than just gaming, it's an entertainment system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my Xbox One gets more mileage out of my roommates using it for movies and
Amazon
Prime.
Definitely. That's exactly why they made it that way.
Yeah, and so sometimes I kind of feel bad about, hey, gonna play some Halo? I'm gonna kick you guys off now? Okay, thanks.
Just snap whatever it is they're looking at, and then and they can just stay there and still watch it, sort of.
Yeah.
Won't be very big, but I can still watch it.
Yeah. But no, it's actually a lot of fun because my roommate has attached her Amazon Prime account.
Mm.
So we watched Agent Carter, which was an excellent series. I'm getting them caught up on Avatar Last Airbender. It's Star Trek, the original series. Oh, that's a hoot to watch.
Who did the holla?
So, yeah, it's just... I like that it's expanding out beyond, like what you said, like just someone to call themselves a gamer does carry.
That says something about themselves.
Yeah, it does.
That's confidence. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like about the Xbox being an entertainment system? Hmm. When at E3, all they talk about is the entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, awesome, cool, thanks. Yeah. That's just what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, woo!
But, you know.
But then we get yours like last year.
Yeah,
In which
it all balances out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
I was going to change to another topic, but unless we want to keep on this one.
I mean, unless you want to talk about the Big Bang Theory, which he then transitioned to talking to me about, or 100% completions in games. If those topics interest you.
I love Big Bang.
Do you?
I do like Big Bang, but I don't think I've ever completed a game.
So
like achievements. Like I don't think
Well, he was just talking about like having collectibles in the game, getting like 100% within the actual game, not the achievement side.
I don't know what you mean.
Just like you do all the collectibles, get all the side missions.
Okay. And then you
complete the game 100%. He was basically saying that it doesn't really add anything to the game, so why do developers keep putting these collectibles in? My argument was basically, now there's usually achievements tied to them. So that for me personally, like that's enough reason for me to go collect stuff. Because I like getting achievements.
Yeah, I know. You're my friends list, and you're always like near the top of the list when it comes to people who increase their score that week.
Especially once I got Far Cry 4, because those achievements are really easy. But especially nowadays, like almost every collectible will give you something in the game,
mm-hmm.
whether it be money or items or ammo or whatever.
And sometimes, like even before it became a thing about achievements, it was something just... as a little extra reward for a player, because there were times where people...
Easter egg.
Yeah, like an Easter egg. Like, I... Like, what... Like, just kind of, you weren't supposed to get up here, but here you go. Like, for instance, the flipping of the mammoth.
Mammoth
on, like, Halo 3.
Yeah.
It's hold X to... Wait, how did you do that? Like, even just small stuff like that, I feel like kind of is a way for the developers to interact with the gamers. Kind of adds an extra connection to say to the gamers, hey, we're thinking about you, even like whether you play linearly or whether you guys like to hop off and explore. So.
And I think the exact example he gave was the feathers in Assassin's Creed 2, which really didn't do anything.
I hate it.
Besides.
Assassin's Creed is notorious for collectibles that I don't give a about.
Assassin's Creed 1 was even worse because it was just flags that literally did nothing. And there was like 400 of them.
At least you have shanties.
The shanties are nice because, exactly, they give you something.
That's
when you collect
something
them.
That's nice. You know, they're a bitch to get, but yeah. I like having them. So sit right back and we'll hear right there.
A tale of faithful trip.
I don't remember that.
It started on this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
Okay.
The mate was a mighty sailor man, skipper brave and sure. I'm going to stop now.
That wasn't even a shanty in Assassin's Creed 4.
No, but...
No, but it's a sea shanty.
But even, like, the feathers in Assassin's Creed 2, when you put them in your villa, it increases your monetary gain just a little bit. But then there's essentially two achievements tied to them, because you get one for collecting them all.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it was like 5 gamer score.
And then the second one is to wear the auditory cape in every city, and you get the auditory cape from collecting all of the feathers. Mm. So it's like, well, that kind of seems worth it, because it's two achievements. Okay. Two achievements I do not have in Assassin's Creed 2 yet, because I'm too lazy to go and collect all the feathers. So maybe my argument's invalid because of that. I don't know.
But at the same point, you still, to a certain extent, enjoy it.
Yeah.
I like Easter eggs a lot better than collectibles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's your favorite Easter egg in a game? Because I don't think I could think of one, so.
I have lots. I mean, like, what was the Easter egg? Was it in Halo 3 that the bullets said something on the back of them? Or was that Call of Duty that I'm thinking of?
I don't remember.
I don't
like,
know.
If you go back to theater mode and stop the bullet in the midair, you go back to the, and it says something on the back of the round.
Oh, I don't know.
On the casing.
That might be Halo.
There's that. DICE does a great job when it comes to Easter eggs. I mean, have you even heard of them?
I've seen a, wasn't there like a T-Rex or
something? There's a T-Rex that sounds off in Battlefield 3, what you have to do is, like, in the multiplayer game, like, so while you're in the match, you have to be able to go do these. The T-Rex one is on two separate sides of this huge map. You have to hit, like, so you have to have somebody who goes over at the same time and communicate with them to hit this button at the same time. And, like, it does something else. I haven't done that one myself, but then, like, something happens, like, a bunch of trees, like, fall down, and then, like, you hear a giant T-Rex roar. Another one is, like, have you heard about the Megalodon? In one of the maps?
I think so, yeah.
Like, you're swimming around, and, like, this huge megalodon. Like, you have to have 9 people in the water at the same time.
Jesus.
And all of a sudden, this huge megalodon, like, actual, like, comparable size, comes up and just, like, you know, slams into the water. You shoot, like, on a different map, you shoot a rocket at a mountain. Like, there's this tiny spot. You have to be at this rock in the corner of this map, and you have to shoot it at so far away. So you have to, like, because there's bullet drop in Battlefield 4 and 3, all battlefields. So you have to shoot the rocket just right so it lands this one part, and then you hear, like, this whole big Yeti roar. And then one of the coolest ones is in another map, there's this huge building in the middle. And you have to climb to the top. Well, you have to get to the elevator. You have to get a sniper rifle. You have to jump on top of, like, a little building on top of this building. And then shoot one light on this, like, sinking cargo ship. And the whole thing explodes, and, like, you just see pieces, parts of it going across the whole map. It's, like, very interactive with everybody. So, like, those are the Easter eggs that I really like. So, like, obviously,
those are pretty cool.
Those are the ones I'm going to go to, one of my favorite ones, but, like, yeah.
Yeah. I, like, for my gaming experiences, very much limited to Halo.
Right.
But I do remember in Portal 2. There was a comic that bridged Portal 1 and Portal 2 that was about the Rat Man, the guy who, you know, did all the scrawlings and, you know, made the meme of the cake is a lie, you know, in the background that you can get into Portal 1. Well, during one of the first levels in Portal 2, you can skirt around the corner and actually see a painting that he did of Chell. And so in part of it, there's just this, painting that you can stumble upon. It does nothing. I don't even think I got an achievement for finding it. But
I think we'll go play that tonight, actually. Because I need to finish that to give it back to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we
should probably do that.
Yeah, I played it for, like, the first 2 weeks, and then, like, I got a new game, and then I don't know what happened.
How's Wheatley?
I love the intro. The intro is just so fantastic.
Say Apple.
I'm just going to start it over from the start again, just because I love that whole sequence.
Yeah.
For me, I really liked, like, the Scarab gun in Halo 2.
Yeah, that was,
I thought that was pretty neat.
I never got to that one.
God, I tried it so many times.
Yeah,
I got Halo 2 on PC, and for a time it was like one of the only games I had. I was interested in playing it all. Mm-hmm. So I would just go through and like get the scarab gun multiple times because I'm a loser, and because it's tricky. I mean,
it's hard.
You gotta be careful.
It's hard. I never got it.
Yeah.
I tried for hours with friends and just couldn't get it.
I actually really liked in Far Cry 3. There's a set of side missions called Lost Expeditions where you go into this like underground bunker and it's like World War II era looking bunkers, and in one of them you walk in. And you immediately find this like folder on the ground, and it's got the Abstergo logo on it from Assassin's Creed.
Oh, funny.
And then, yes. But you guys says like, oh, this looks familiar. It's like, great, thanks. As if I didn't notice already. And then the Abstergo logo is like on the wall throughout the bunker and stuff. Yeah, Ubisoft is cool about having like, honestly, that's barely even a reference because they've created an entire like mini-verse with some of their games.
Yeah.
Kind of like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
There is one that you, thinking of it, like, being a part of the scenery is one thing with the Halo 5 multiplayer, Seeker of Truth, well, the map Truth, which is the bridge of Seeker of Truth, the flagship of Ascendant Justice. I got killed so often on that because I was spending too much time looking around. Because in one of the areas, it has a holdout of Threshold and the Halo ring and like the moon, and so it's like a hologram of that. And then on the other side of the map, it's a Pillar of Autumn, a schematic of the Pillar of Autumn because that it's pursuing. And apparently, according to the Sprint, I think it's Sprint, one of the Sprint videos on the Halo channel, is that you can also find on the map a little hologram of Truth, the Prophet of Truth.
Oh
how adorable.
I know.
I like
so cute. So
I really did like Truth.
Truth in Halo 2 was one of my favorite villains.
I even liked him in Halo 3. I liked him there too. Just because I'm rereading Contact Harvest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
so I just love him. I just love him.
Maccabeus, I really wish he survived.
I wish he would've.
I liked Maccabeus. I liked Adam.
You like him too.
And lighter than some.
Man, I like him.
You would enjoy him. He was good.
Oh.
His nephew's a prick.
Okay.
You know his nephew.
You know his nephew.
Do I?
Tartarus.
Yes. Yes.
Ah.
Which?
Who?
Mr. Mohawk.
Yes.
there's actually something one of my friends pointed out online was, so the us at the end of the brute's name is given when the brutes come of age. So for a portion of his life, Tartarus was known as Tartar.
like the sauce.
Yeah.
Or like the stuff on your teeth.
Shout out to SpongeBob. Is that SpongeBob who said tartar sauce? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that show in a while. Like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, but... So, yeah. Contact Harvest was good. Sorry. Go.
I want to go back to Ubisoft for a second.
Go for it.
You got it.
Because, Travis, I think you'll enjoy this.
I do enjoy things.
But first of all, would it be okay if I spoiled near the end of the first-person sections in Assassin's Creed 4?
Would it be okay with you if I left the room and you let me know when it's okay to come back?
Well, no, because I'm telling the story because of you. Because you would enjoy it.
Okay, if I'm going to enjoy it.
It's not a huge spoiler, and it's not the exact end.
But it's the kind of end?
What? It's kind of the end. See, now I feel bad about it.
Well,
I'm going to do it anyway because you're going to laugh. So close to the end of Assassin's Creed 4, you hack into someone's computer.
Oh, what?
Spoiler alert. And you find out that Olivier has gone off to Chicago for some kind of conference.
I knew I didn't like him. This isn't the funny part?
No.
Oh.
But he goes up to Chicago and they're like, you went to some conference, but we haven't heard from him in a while. And, you know, we don't know what's going on. So fans started theorizing about the fact that Watch Dogs is set in Chicago. So interesting, right? Isn't that kind of weird?
So, I haven't played Watch Dogs.
So then, well, you don't need to. It's okay. So then in Watch Dogs, there's a series of side missions called convoys where you have to like intercept this group of cars and blow them all up. Or sometimes you have to let a guy survive or something. But once you finish all the convoy missions, there's one extra convoy mission. And you're contacted by some suspicious individuals, and they're saying like, hey, we have this target and we need you to take him out. So you're like, all right, I'll do it. That's what I do. I'm a vigilante. So you go do this convoy, and They stop for some reason. I don't remember exactly why. But all the people get out. You have to murder all the guards. The target you have to get ends up being Olivier Garneau. So you bash him in the back of the knee with your little nightstick, and the assassins come and take him away. Because he's a Templar working for Abstergo, and, you know, they didn't like that very much. So.
Wow.
That was humorous. Thank you for sharing that.
I just thought you liked that, you know.
I fucking hate him.
Olivier got real hard.
By assassins and watchdogs. Who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Nice.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of Assassin's Creed 4, we just released our first episode of, what's the title again?
Inner Monologue of a Slightly Sociopathic Accountant.
Which, what's the subtitle?
The Adventure of Dips Chubbo Through Space and Time.
We just released that on YouTube. Check it out. It's going to be in the link dump.
The link dump that goes to our own channel, you know? Yep. That's fine.
Hey, we can do a self shout out. We worked hard on that. We spent like a good 4 hours on it.
A good couple minutes, at least.
You guys actually, you know, worked hard on getting the script out.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun. That was fun.
Fun to do.
It was really fun. The music, the script, the voice casting, the voice recording. It was just so much fun. And I'm writing the script for a second one.
Are we making a second one?
Nice.
We're going to make three.
First announced on this podcast.
Three.
At least three episodes.
Because the second footage is 17 minutes long and it's easily divided up into two.
That was like 13 minutes long.
Same difference. Right. It's too long for one episode. I have to cut it in half.
Nah. Freeman's Mind has like 11 minute episodes.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that.
Okay.
That's a lot of writing for one episode.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was thinking about actually working on it tonight, but instead we did some work for Abby's.
Sign. Sorry is not enough. Yeah, we actually got voice recording down for all of Kaiza, who Andrew plays.
Yeah!
And we got the first two episodes for my lines down as Carol, and some of Rachel's lines as Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
And some of Samai's lines as well.
Fucking Travis.
Plows and forgiveness, man. They're hard words.
Plows, forgiveness, and
never enunciate or correctly put emphasis on the word forgiveness. I will never for the rest of my life now.
Yeah.
I'll always be, please forgive me. Yeah. Yep. That's going to be it.
Yeah. And I am forever having issues with adding to and something afterwards. To defell. To bury. To something.
To bury.
To bury.
Dude, infinitives are hard.
Yeah. And then, you know, you guys couldn't understand my punctuation at all.
Dude, it was all over the place. There was a question mark. She's like, don't make it be a question. There's a period. You want to raise your voice so it sounds like a question. Like, what? I don't want
to. And take a break here. But don't put, like, any punctuation there. But you're supposed to know right there. It's supposed to be a break. And I'm supposed to put emphasis on this word. Well, it's not italicized. It's not uppercase. How am I supposed to know? Abby,
please.
I'm begging you. Please make that script better. Just kidding.
It was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. Very good
script. Like I was telling her when we were setting up the equipment, the more and more that I read, like, I loved it at first, but I'm becoming increasingly infatuated with this story. Like, it's even better when I get to watch Abby say her lines because she gets into character so well. And I can't wait for you guys to hear this because when she gets emotional, she looks like she's going to cry. Like, her eyes start to water and everything. So it's going to be fun voice recording this because I'm going to feel depressed as I go home.
And it's going to be nighttime. He's also going to feel angry.
Cause apparently, I always feel angry.
Well, apparently some of the lines also really tick you off. Like
Carol's lines really just – she's a bitch.
Carol can be so mean, especially in these first few episodes. And third episode. My gosh.
No spoilers.
Oh.
So, yeah. Really excited to put that out and see what you guys think of it. Also, check out Monologues and let us know what you guys think. And hopefully this is the hype train starting for episode two. And three.
Yeah.
Sweet train.
Nice. Way to go. Way to screw it up. You're the worst.
Yeah, I did it on purpose.
Yeah, no, Inner Monologue, to put in my 2 cents.
Cause, please do.
I would actually like 5 cents.
Yeah, 5 cents. Here's a nickel.
There we go.
And so I really enjoyed like, watching the process through. I did try out for the part. I didn't get cast, but that's okay because Chris does an excellent job.
She did a fantastic job.
Oh, it was a lot of fun reading that script.
Chris
deserved it.
There's multiple reasons why I chose Chris, and it just so happened that it was the night that I chose it was the night that we could record. So I'm like, well, it's a bang, let's do it. So
also watching the video editing even before we did the voicing.
Andrew did such a fantastic job with post production.
Editing was so much fun. I really like video editing.
I'm glad because you do it well, and I enjoy. Doing whatever I do. Like, I don't think there's a label for what I do.
What did you do?
I wrote the script and I voice cast it. That's it.
Yeah, that is...
Useless.
You know, that's the voice director
and I kind of the music.
Casting director.
You did do...
I kind of the music.
Kind of. I mean, you did do the
music. You did. That is your music in that movie. Video thing. Yeah.
That's so fun writing the second script so far. Like,
I cannot wait to read it.
I'm only 4 minutes in, but, like, the problem I'm having right now is I'm at the point where... I'm going up to meet Olivier.
Okay.
Olivier is the ER.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually learned his name now because I've watched this video like Olivier. 15 times. And the problem of it is like he's talking a lot about Kenway. So I'm thinking about cutting that part out. But there's plenty of it in that's going to be. So I think we got to take like 2 minutes out. But it's going to be fun. I'll send you the script tonight.
You know what I just realized?
What?
Well, like, cutting stuff out could be difficult because you could have yourself, like, teleporting places. But we could just have it fade to black and then fade back in.
Isn't that what I just said?
No. You said cut it out.
That's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sad
to know like, that.
Because that's what the thing does on its own.
Yeah, when it goes to, like, cutscenes, that's what it does. I had not thought of that.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we can take out stuff that I don't want. Yeah. 13 minutes, I can cut a little bit out of there.
Yeah.
As long as, like... As long as we're not cutting like every 30 seconds, it should be fine.
No, there's the only reason I'm doing this is because all he's talking about is you as Kenway, and that's not what our story follows.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So go check out Inner Monologue. It's a lot of fun. Good video editing. Good acting.
Thank
good
you
music.
For saying good that. Script. I really appreciate.
I like that endorsement.
Yeah.
I really do like it. Do you have any criticisms for the next episode? Well, tell me now.
Yeah. The thing is I don't have, like, I don't see the script in front of me.
Of
so
course
don't
you don't.
Yeah, so there's nothing, I can't.
But I'm saying from the last episode.
Oh, okay. I guess work on the timing of the lines better, because, like, we had that one thing about the Ben and Jerry's lines, where we weren't sure about where to go, and we ended up keeping it where it was at.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
And now that you have the video while you're writing it, that might be a bit easier. Because you didn't really have it before, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh.
Right. It's always been this way. You had it edited where the cutouts were. I had to fill in where your cutaways were.
Oh, yeah.
I had to redo the whole script with the video you gave me.
I forgot.
So that was fun. So, like, I had to fill in these cutaways with stuff that he already had planned stuff to say in it. But,
yeah.
So I like,
could have just taken the cutaways out if you really didn't want them.
I liked them. Right. I thought they were well-placed.
Yeah, that was a Monday. That was Monday night that we all kind of... When commented on Andrew's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do this.
And then he sent me the video, and I said, well, by the time Monday comes around, I'm going to write my own script as well for it. And I sent it to him. He's like, I'm not even going to finish mine.
I'm like, mine was awful.
It wasn't awful.
It was pretty bad. I didn't like it.
There's just a lot of references. I don't understand if a lot of people got, like...
Yeah. I have a lot of referential humor in my writing. That's why I shouldn't write.
Well, I referred to Ben and Jerry's. I don't think a lot of people know what Ben and Jerry's is.
No, probably not.
McDonald's.
Super obscure.
Over their head.
Oh, sarcasm. Okay.
Wow.
That was obvious sarcasm.
That was super obvious.
The moment you said McDonald's, I caught on, but it took my brain a moment to catch up. Wow.
So, is this my moment to be able to share something?
Yeah, if you'd like to.
Yeah, go for it.
I become a big brother.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I'm a big brother. I've adopted this kid on Xbox Live.
Oh. Well, that's pretty neat.
This actually sounds like a fun story.
So what happened?
I don't know. You tell us.
I know. This is what happened.
Why are you asking?
No, I didn't say no.
What happened?
No, I said this is what happened.
All right.
So I have these two guys I always played games with back in the day. Like, when I lived at home, even, so like when I started in high school, so like for the past 6 years, we would play games like almost every day. We'd get home, play a couple hours of video games, and then we'd go do homework or work or whatever it is. Well, they've grown up. I haven't.
Okay.
One of them just had a kid, so like he has zero time to play video games anymore. And the other one has a second shift job, so he works from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. That does not work with my schedule. No. So
I can't imagine it would.
And then on the weekends, like, he's grown up, and he like, since I moved away, he's with a more hip crowd, so he's going out to all them drinking parties and all that kind of stuff.
Ew.
All
those youngsters do. What I consider hip.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. That's what I said. That's why don't you want to stay home on Saturday night and play video games with me?
Call him stupid.
I did. Stupid. I was being a big fat meanie. And still didn't do anything. So, needless to say, my video game experience has been very solo, which is totally fine. I don't need to play games with other people. Well, I was playing Battlefield, and I hate it when people keep sending me a bunch of messages. Because, like, I don't have my mic on. I have my mic unplugged. And people can't talk to me. Like, so there's no way but, like, this guy kept sending me messages and, like, party requests. I'm like, whatever, fine. So I was like, what? And it was just like, hey, how's it going? Were you the one that made the Yeti yell? Which was in Battlefield. Yeah. Where like, no, I wasn't. He's like, wow, you're a really good sniper.
Wow, his voice changed really drastically.
Well, I can't do that that long.
You want to feed me the lines and I can be the kid?
Yeah, let me write them down real quick.
Okay. Wow, you're a really good sniper.
Yeah, there we go. She's got it.
Nice.
So he's like, well, my buddies are playing.
Well,
you
my
know.
Buddies are playing. I'll stop.
This is great.
I love it. I'll keep going.
Actually, I bet you could actually fix it in Audacity, couldn't you?
I could just make the pitch of your voice go higher. But.
He's like, I got some buddies that, you know, play this game and they're about to come on over. Do you want to join up in a party? I'm like, all right. Kid sounds like he's, you know. 6th, 7th grade.
Yay.
And so do all of his friends.
Oh, lovely.
All 5.
This sounds like the greatest party of all time.
So, like, I'm the only one with a low voice in the whole party. I'm like, talking about class, no first snow day.
Like, oh, I'm glad Grandpa's here playing with us.
I told him I was 63. They believed me. That's the worst part.
Wait, you actually told them?
I told them. I'm like, you know, I'm a little old. They're like, how old are you? I'm like 63. They're like, okay, you sound like that. I'm like, what? You sound like a 63-year-old man.
You're destroyed by like 12-year-olds.
Man, you old fogey.
So, you know, we're playing, and these kids just keep asking me all these questions about growing up and that kind of stuff. And
like,
I felt
during World
so
War
II? Cool.
Yes. Like, what was that like?
No. They finally realized, like, I finally told them, like, I'm just kidding, I'm 23. And
that's no fun.
I sound like a 63-year-old, but I play video games like a 12-year-old. So I'm, like, right in the middle. I'm a 23-year-old. And so, like, they just asked me all these questions, and they're just fun. But, like, I haven't played with the majority of them since. Except one. Whenever I'm on, especially in the evening, he always asks, hey, Relinquished. How's it going, Evan? He won't call me by my real name. Which is funny because this is how my relationship started with my best friend who I'm going to be flying out next week Thursday to go visit. He is like 6-7 years older than me. And so like this is kind of interesting how this is happening. Like he was one of my best friends. I didn't look up to him at all.
I mean, why would you?
He's not the type of person I'd look up to. He's a great friend, but not somebody I look up to. But it's just really cool because this kid, you know, he's finally opening up and asking questions like, you know, I'm not really – I don't like my teacher. What do I do? And that type of stuff. I'm like,
wow.
Well, this is cool. Like, so, like, this is actually, like, really cool.
Aw.
Yeah, so like, he's asking me all these questions and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like I've always wanted a little brother. I've always wanted a little brother. So, like – and I was in Boy Scouts, and so I got to, like, lead younger scouts. But it's never been to, like, where I've actually had a youngin'.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun. It's actually a really cool experience. He talks a lot. A lot. And he screams a lot when he gets mad. But you know what? It's fun.
Give him a mic and put him on YouTube. He'll be a big hit.
I know. I could get, like, 60 views.
Yeah, maybe. If you're lucky. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been my recent experience. So... Aww. So, yeah, like, we were playing last night, and I said, you know, like, we just been playing for, like, 2 weeks now. And it's been, like, maybe 4 times during this 2 weeks that we've been playing. And, you know, last night he's like, because I had to go off and write a midterm. He's like, are you going to be on tomorrow? I'm like, no, buddy, I'll be on Friday, though. And he's like, okay. Because my bedtime's at 9:30, so I can't play late. I'm like, that's cool, bud. No, that's awesome. Yeah, the kid's in fifth grade.
It's still funny.
Is it emasculating if I say that's so precious?
Absolutely not. I'm proud
of
it.
It's precious.
I wouldn't be talking about it on a podcast that's going to be released to YouTube to anybody to watch this if I wasn't proud of it.
This is precious. Oh my
gosh. Started following me on Instagram and that type of stuff. He's like, you don't look that old. And he's sending me pictures of his dad or anything.
You don't look a day over 50.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's been my experience. So, ladies, eat your heart out.
Does that work? I've never tried that.
I'm sorry, like the precious meter tried. Just dropped a couple feet.
Dropped down to miles.
That's okay. I'm sure I can make it up by just telling him next week on what he's saying. Yeah. Or we're going on a podcast next week.
Probably not. Yeah. Well, probably could do one, but.
It'd have to be late Thursday. I could have Frail.
You could.
Not a political cast. No. That was with you doing the.
That was the No Fly Zone cast.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There. Speaking of people misaging, there was. Have I told you guys about?
Somebody said you were 93 years old.
No, a 9-year old boy.
Well, actually, when I first got my hair cut short in high school, like, you know, this really close crop. Well, the thing is before I had to start dressing professionally for work, boys' clothes are just more comfortable, okay? And it's
I believe it. I don't know. I never tried girl clothes.
It's interesting because I know a guy who likes to wear some girls' clothes, and he says that the women's clothes are more comfortable because they're made out of like a better fabric or something.
But women's clothes wear out easier. They're also a lot more thin.
How are you not fazed by what he just said? He just said that so nonchalant. You have a friend that dresses like a woman?
No, he doesn't dress like a woman. He wears like. Women's t-shirts and like women's shoes or something.
Dude,
because they're more comfortable.
Dude, I wear guys' clothes. Why is
there's a large difference there.
I don't think there's.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
I've just never known anybody that's known anybody that does that. So.
Yeah. But yeah, like I will wear it. And also.
Why is that so surprising? The internet's a big place. I can know people.
And
Craigslist, right?
Look, I'm not disclosing where I know him from.
I'm sorry, Abby. You've been trying to make a point for like a minute here.
It is Craigslist.
I
will agree.
I've been misgendered.
It's lonely up here. I understand.
Multiple times. You guys heard my misgendered story in the
feminine product section. Hey, we completely understand why.
Yeah. And
wow.
I'm not going to deny it.
You need a burn heel after that? Or
not really.
Some aloe vera for that burn.
But so there was this thing with people consistently thinking that I am younger than I am.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm 23, nearly 24. And 2 years back, when my second brother got married, it was at the wedding, I started hanging out with one of, like, flower girls. Because, you know, she was kind of shy and, you know, it seemed like she wanted someone to, like, hang out with.
Oh, precious! Would it be emasculating if I just said this is
no.
precious? Okay.
And so, like, making sure that she felt included and whatnot. And, oh, gosh. I'm going to slug you.
See, you wonder why she gets mistaken for a guy. Well, I'm going to slug you to the moon.
Slugger over here.
And so it got to a certain point where, she actually was the person who caught the bouquet that my sister-in-law tossed over her shoulders. And, of course, everyone, you know, thought it would be cute to, you know, tell her, oh, that means that you're going to get married next. This sent this girl into a slight panic.
Aww.
Because she's like, I am not even a teenager yet. What do I do? I'm not going to get married. I'm too young to get married. So I sat her down and said, hey, look, I think it was when I was 21. Look, I'm 20, 21. I can't remember the year. Oh, my gosh. Look, I'm over 20, and I'm not married yet. You've got a long time to wait. And she goes, you're over 20? I'm like, yeah. I thought you were 14.
I believe it.
And there was this one time where over this Thanksgiving break, my whole family went to hang out at my my brother and his wife's, the same brother and wife who got married, and I got mistaken for a 14-year-old. And there was this one store that my dad and I wandered into just this past year, so I'm 23.
He really wears women's clothes.
Are you
not
really
all the time?
Okay.
Just once in a while. He has some women's clothes in his closet.
And there's this rack of swords.
What, did he buy them, or were they just left over by a girl? Keep going.
There's this rack of swords, and the swords are really cool. And there's the sign that says, you know, please do not only people 18 and older can handle the swords. And so my dad and I are observing them, and kind of like, oh, this one's cool, this one's cool. And this lady comes over and starts talking to us. And so my dad pulls out a sword, looks at it, and then hands it to me to say, hey, Abby, check this out. So I hold the sword, and the lady goes, are you over 18? I'm like, yes, I'm 23. Turns out my dad not only handed it to me because he's like, oh, this is a cool sword, Abby would be interested in it. He's also like, I wonder if the person's going to say anything about her age. And the same thing happened to my brother. My brother, who's 2.5 years older than me, same question got asked of him when he went in there, pulled out a sword. Oh, this is, are you over 18?
Ask a question about your brother?
Yeah.
Does he have long hair?
No.
That would just be funny.
No, he does not. He does not have long hair. But for some reason, he also gets mistaken for being a lot younger than he is.
Oh, they're about to say a woman.
No.
See, strangely enough, that has never happened to me.
I wonder why.
Probably because you're 6 foot.
Pretty bizarre. One time a guy said that I could have been 37. He didn't know. This was when I was like 16, so. Whatever that means.
And not even like in the 20s. It's like the 37.
Yeah.
That's like,
I don't know why exactly 37. It's just what he said.
People normally peg me for my age. They think I act older.
Yeah.
But
I don't think you do.
I don't think so. Thanks, Andy.
You're welcome, Ice-T.
Yeah, you're...
You know, this podcast is so much better without Chris. Oh,
this podcast is better because we're not all, like, angry that we had to move rooms 60,000 times like last week.
Which is why we didn't release an episode.
Yeah, I made an executive decision, decided not to release it.
Did you keep the footage, though?
It was terrible. I still have it, yes. Except for the first strike. That's gone.
Yeah, thanks to you.
So gone. Gone forever.
Just because, like, maybe we want to do outtakes sometime.
Yeah, maybe.
Filler.
Hopefully not with that, but...
There's some funny parts in there.
Yeah, like that time Chris was talking about a pipeline. That was pretty funny.
No, he was talking about politics. Who cared about that?
Yeah, that led into some pipeline discussion. I was like, what is this, a James Bond film? I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
World Isn't Enough.
No, I
got you.
Understand.
Thanks. There was a James Bond movie that revolved around blowing up a pipeline.
Pipeline.
Alaskan pipeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're not ever going to release that because it was awful. What was I saying? I called you Ice-T because now I'm jealous that you've had moments with this, like, 10-year-old kid, but you've never had a moment with me, so now I gotta make it up to you.
I tried to have a moment with you the other day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you were hardcore sarcastic.
I'm not good at having moments, though, so.
I was actually open to having a conversation with you about this, but instead you were gonna be a dick.
Oh, look. It just seemed like a silly question.
Web Zeros, they have heart-to-hearts with each other.
They do.
Why can't you have a heart-to-heart with me, Andrew?
They like to go to their field of dreams.
I'd be more than happy to go find a snow-covered field and bitch about the cold until we get tired.
Man, it's freaking cold.
I hope we get some action.
If there weren't any, like, needles laying around the field, though, it just wouldn't be the same.
There's also not a Microsoft store going on.
Yeah.
Web Zeros, get with the picture. Watch it.
Okay, you don't even know about the dress, so I wouldn't even be...
What is it? Okay, can you guys explain that to me?
There is a dress that's online. There's a picture of the dress.
Oh, yeah. What color is it?
Yeah. And the internet, like, imploded in on itself when this picture was posted.
Yeah.
I saw the video pop up, but I didn't pay any attention to it.
The thing is I actually didn't follow it. I found out about the aftermath of the whole explosion that happened. Explosion.
What was the big deal? What happened?
Okay, I got on, like, right as it was ending, and I was like, what is happening? What is blue and black, white and gold?
Where did this conversation happen?
So, I don't even know. That's the other
Twitter?
Thing. I was so confused. There was a lot of it on Twitter. I know that, but... somebody like posted this picture of a dress.
Yes, I've seen the picture.
And they were talking about like either this is a dress I designed or this is a dress I'm going to wear to this occasion or something, or they're telling someone about it. I don't know. But so they posted this picture online and I guess some people started having a disagreement about what color it was, and then it just blew up to the entire internet having an opinion. It was insane.
What's the internet for you? Well, I don't understand why it's a big story though.
It's just the most bizarre phenomenon
you know
I've
cool.
ever seen.
10 years from now, if YouTube's still around, which I'm pretty confident it will be.
As long as Google's still around.
But, you know, it's completely possible that it could go away.
Yeah.
But, like, 10 years from now, we'll be able to go back and listen to these podcasts and listen to the current events that are happening. This could be kind of cool.
Be like, man, yeah. That dress, such a big deal.
I remember that back then.
It was even weird. It was preceded by something about llamas. I was like, what? Were the dresses, or were the llamas wearing the dresses? I don't, what is happening?
No, two llamas got, two llamas apparently got loose from a petting zoo, and they ran rampant across the city.
And there were like cops chasing them. People were like cheering on the llamas, like, yeah, go llamas.
And it got to a point where they actually brought in an ESPN, like a famous ESPN, and like football announcer to comment as the llamas were going
You're kidding.
I haven't watched the footage, but I really want to. And apparently it got so badly to the point so far of which like someone ended up mentioning like, oh, you know, they don't have hands, so they can't catch, but we would draft them in an instant. To the point where one team, I don't know which team, actually ended up saying, like, yep, we're drafting the llamas.
That's awesome. I love when people can have good humor like that. Yeah. That's cool. That's a good story.
Yeah.
It was like the weirdest thing I've seen since the internet, like, latched onto the left shark from Katy Perry's performance. My gosh. Like, what?
Yeah, what?
Like, what is happening?
What is with the internet?
It's so weird.
I blame
4chan.
Yeah.
And Anonymous.
I haven't been on Tumblr in a while because I gave it up for Lent, but...
probably a good choice.
But before you know the Rick Roll phenomenon, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that was like...
Never gonna give you up!
And
copyrighted, stop.
Oh, folks. As long as it's not longer than 10 seconds, we're fine.
They ended up on Tumblr taking it to a whole new level, into the point of where...
I want to hear a remix of that.
They would... They've done remixes. One time...
Like dubstep?
That'd
be awesome!
Everything. To the point where they would have, like, you know... Like, for instance, one of the things I remember, it was a post on Tumblr, and it said, like, someone said... It had a screenshot of a conversation that someone said. Like, what if doorbells went dong-ding instead of ding-dong?
Oh my gosh, world upside down.
And then someone else commented... And then someone else commented, like, you shut your face. And so someone took a screenshot of that and put it, like, made a post and then put an audio post above it. And so everyone thought, oh, it's going to be the dong-ding. Click it, Rickroll.
Of course.
And it got to a point where this just exploded. And then it said, like, you know, and so someone posted... Finally, online, they're like, you know what? We've been hearing this forever. I'm just going to put this out there so we can listen to it. And so they, you know, put the Rickroll thing. You see it, like, listed Rickroll. You click it, and it goes, what you say?
It's a secondary Rickroll.
And they have turned this inside and out to the point where there was this one person who posted it, and they're just like, you don't even know what's going to happen. Is it a Rickroll, or is it a reverse Rickroll, or am I getting Rickrolled into a reverse Rickroll, which is a Rickroll?
How deep does this go?
Rickrollception.
And it is fantastic. Tumblr brought back the Rickroll in the best way possible.
I mean, I don't think it really ever left.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's something that's sort of cemented in time forever.
Oh,
it is not going to go away.
Do you guys know the YouTube channel React?
No, absolutely.
YouTubers React?
Yes.
Have you seen the YouTubers React to being Rickrolled?
No. Have you seen the one where they do me, me, me?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to see your reaction on that.
Let's just say there's a lot of times where my hand was covering up a part of the screen.
A part? You'd have to cover the entire video on a lot of that stuff.
Well, no, but the thing is it shows, like, on the screen where I'm watching the YouTubers react, all I have to do is cover up the corner, so I just see the reaction. I don't see the video that they're watching.
Gotcha.
So...
There's boobs in it.
Oh. Why'd you cover that up?
Have you seen Me, Me, Me?
No.
Dude, watch
But now YouTube. I'm curious.
Watch YouTubers react to Me, 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 because you have to do the link dump now.
Okay. Should I be putting that in the link dump if
there's
if there's graphic material in it?
Oh, yes. Right. This is where our explicit channel.
Oh, that's true. Also, people don't have to click on it.
Yeah.
Just put it in NSFW.
Another thing to watch on YouTube for React is Elders React Five Nights at Freddy's.
The first one? Because I watched the second one and this wasn't funny.
I found the second one really funny, mainly because of the one guy who never leaves the room.
Oh, yeah. He stays with
the one guy who's just like, this is a stupid game. Like,
there's this old... Have you seen...
No.
So there's this old guy. You know, in Five Nights at Freddy's, you have to wind up the puppet?
Right.
He thought he had to stay in that room just keeping a whining the whole time.
So he's
like, I don't get it. I don't like this game. Of course, he has an accent. He has a very thick accent.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I just don't understand what's going on.
Did I win? They're like, no, you got to keep doing it. You can leave the room now. And the moment he finally leaves the room, Bonnie gets him. And he's just like so nonchalant about it. He's like, ugly face, come at me. I don't get it.
God dang it.
I would watch both of them, especially because of that guy in the second
one. I'm going to watch the first one because I really want to see when people, like, because they're like, oh, this is like last time we played. I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're not going to be that scared. I love people's initial reactions to Five Nights at Friday.
They aren't that scared. In the first one, it's, sorry, spoiler. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I won't watch it now. I'm not even going to watch it now.
But it's actually really funny to see the reaction because, like, you're kind of expecting, like, oh, are they going to get scared? And
I was scared shitless the first time I saw Freddy come out. Oh. When I was watching Markiplier, like, oh my god!
It scared me just then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, yeah. But there were times where I was, like, watching. I think Markiplier play that. I'm like, I'm gonna pause this. But, yeah.
Have you watched any footage for Five Nights at Freddy's
3? Oh, yeah. For 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
Achievement Hunter. Michael and Gavin.
I haven't watched any yet.
What'd you think of it?
Honestly, I didn't like it as much as the first one.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of...
Why?
Because now it feels like they're just sort of rehashing, and they aren't going to capture the same magic that they did with the first one.
Well, of course not.
So, I don't know. It just seems a bit cheaper to me, I guess.
Well, it's hard to grab onto the... You know, because, like, how can you really change the idea?
Yeah.
There's really nothing you can do. But you can change how you do it. And that's what they've done each... 3 times. They've rechanged the whole entire thing. The only thing that stays the same is you have to check the cameras.
And honestly, it might help if they weren't released like 5 months apart from each other.
Absolutely.
Like all 3 of them are all like within 5 months. But,
thing is, with games like that, you have to release them when they're hot. Because
that's true, yeah.
There are going to be those games where like people are going to be like, there's something better to come out.
Like after there was that long gap between Slender the 8 Pages and Slender the Return.
Arrival, I think.
Slender the Arrival.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I heard that the Marble Hornets team actually helped with Slender the Arrival, which is interesting to me. But at the same time, there was a massive gap, and Slender the Arrival did not perform as well as Slender the 8 Pages.
Yeah. That's a good point. The one thing I really did like about 3 was how you had to like turn your head to access the camera and access the like rebooting system, and how nerve-wracking that turn is every single time, because you don't know if somebody's going to be in that doorway.
Oh, it was! I thought it was excellent. I think this one I have jumped the most out of because those ventilation things out of nowhere, like because there's really no hint that the ventilation is going on unless you actually take a look at the screen or if you look in the corner and see like fog coming out of the roof or ceiling, I should say.
Oh, so you have to look around when you're in person.
Yeah,
I think that's a good addition. Yeah. I think that's a good addition.
When you see the key to this though, there's only one animatronic.
Yeah.
Well,
technically there's two, right?
Yeah, there's two.
But one is
Freddy
like,
that walks around.
Yeah.
And of course, like, Chica's, you know, head's there. And
but isn't it like the, I don't know, is it the balloon boy who will like jump out at you but won't actually make you fail?
Oh, from the ventilation?
Maybe.
Because I don't know if it's from the ventilation. No animatronics jump out at you except for Springtrap.
Is that the same springy guy from the...
brand new. And he is terrifying. And there's a really cool story behind it. What I do like about how they're increasing is the story behind it. Because
that's true, yeah.
Games, like, gamers have, like, latched on to the small theories. That you brought this up in the conversation we had, I think, on Monday. About how, like, they started just, like, with these wild theories. And Chris knew about them more than I did.
Yeah.
And when we first covered it. And then, of course, they're growing... And the developers are grasping onto that, and they're making a real story behind it, and it's so cool.
And people really love it, especially when you don't, like, show everything all the time.
Yeah.
Like, they don't tell you the exact story and what's going on.
And they
you just sort of have to find
it yourself and figure it out.
They
let you research, which is probably one of the most which is why, actually, I enjoy Game Theorists, the channel, a lot. But Five Nights at Freddy's are my favorite ones.
I've heard a lot of people talk about how good the Five Nights at Freddy Game Theorists videos are.
Because he does. He goes through it and he finds all those tiny little pieces. And
like how Pyro's a girl. I had no idea.
I think he concluded that he was a guy.
I don't know what it was, but I mean, that was like the title of it. And I remember what was discussed.
But yeah, no.
There's some really good,
good
things on that channel.
Yeah, I really like
that
channel.
I love you too. Like, once I've started to find that there's actually, like, YouTubers that actually put out consistent content, like, you know, Markiplier, Jeffsepticeye, Achievement Hunters, like, putting out consistent stuff like that, I really don't think I could go back to TV. Like, when I have YouTube and Netflix, like, I don't need TV anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got to a certain point, kind of on a similar vein, was that last week for my Reading Interests of Adults, we were talking about comic books. And I just kind of realized that, like, when I was reading one of the comics, I'm like, oh, you know what? If someone liked this, I would actually recommend this webcomic. And I just kind of thought, the internet is a massive place with a ton of webcomics covering a variety of different topics. Like, there is a fantasy one I keep up on, a science fiction one I keep up on, a superhero one I keep up on, just a slice of life one, and just,
I thought,
like,
you say a slice of bread one.
Like, slice of bread.
That seems like a...
I am bread.
Seems like yeah. a good comic.
But, like YouTube, there's so many, like, online comics and online content that it's become a free space for creators of all sorts.
And the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, the crown jewel of all of the internet is this podcast. So
yes,
clearly,
it's the which you should end. Diamond in the rough.
We probably should end pretty soon.
Yeah,
that's what I originally said, but I think you heard "and." I heard "end." But go ahead, keep going. End the podcast.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the Mach 7 podcast.
I did it just to hear that. So good. One more time, please.
Thank you for listening to the Mach 7 podcast.
No. Do it like you did originally. That was like an eargasm. One more time.
Is that good or bad?
No, really good.
Thank you for listening to the Mach 7 podcast.
I
screwed it up. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook.
Check
out our website and our new video. And
inner monologue of the slightly sociopathic accountant.
Yes. And we're on iTunes. So thank you for listening, and goodbye.
We'll see you next time we upload.
Yeah. Some point in life.
Bye.
Doodles.
You're supposed to say bye.
Bye.